each one. What would we know about widows in those days? A very vulnerable position in a Jewish society. Your position, your status, your protection came from the husband. And so to be widowed and possibly have no means of support was a really difficult position. And we can imagine the widow of Jesus' parable having some kind of financial problem, maybe someone that wouldn't pay her a debt, and she goes to a judge. And we get a little pen portrait of this judge. He has no fear of God and does not care about men. Jesus says in verse 6, he is unjust. For instance, he's more likely to be bribed than follow the truth. But he eventually gives in to the woman's pleas because her persistence is wearing him out. And then Jesus compares her persistence to our prayers. Now, this is what the parable is not saying. It's not trying to parallel the judge and Jesus, saying just like the judge, you know, we're just like the widow. We've got to keep crying out and crying out, hoping one day someone will listen. Maybe you feel like that sometimes. No, this is not a comparison. It's a contrast. If the widow succeeds in the end in getting what she wants, despite the judge having no interest in her, how much more will God's people, his beloved, have their prayers answered? If an unjust judge will finally grant justice, how much more God? God who delights in his people, God who loves to hear our voice, God who makes it clear in his word, pray continually. Do not give up, persist, and wait upon the Lord to respond. And so, friends, that's our lesson today as we spend an amount of time today in our service. And then I pray that this might be a bit of a springboard for our own lives. Pray and do not give up. Trust God. He tells us to be persistent. That's actually a sign of faith that we will do that. It's the mark of a disciple that we cry out to God day and night. We don't do that because God is hard of hearing. We do that because he is always listening. When at the start of the year, whenever I come to planning a calendar of important things in the church, and it's taken me a few years to work it out, I've got to start with how are we praying? Where are we praying? When are we praying? Because that, in many ways, is the most important work. So, brothers and sisters, we pray so that God's purposes will be achieved because he works through our prayers. We pray so the gospel will keep ringing forth. Today we will pray for Spain and Southeast Asia and Numea, but we'll also, in our wider prayers, I hope, continue to pray for places that our members have connections with, whether it be Rwanda or Lesotho or Ecuador or Nepal or wherever that be. We pray so that our partners around the world can keep proclaiming and living for the risen Christ. Prayer changes things. And so we cry out to God. So let me pray, and then we're going to hear from our missionaries. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful gospel. The gospel which is the power to change lives, to bring people from death to life, from darkness to light, to bring people out of their own selfish existence and bring them to Jesus Christ, the one who creates and gives new life and gives hope and forgiveness. Father, we want this gospel to be proclaimed around the world so that more and more might be saved before that dreadful day of the Lord. Father, we pray, we think of those that we will be praying for today and we commit them to you. And we rejoice in our partnership with them. But we pray also for ourselves. And we pray as we look around our own mission field and what that might mean for us. But Father, right now we pray that you will help us to be diligent and faithful in being people of prayer. Above all else, to be known as people of prayer. And so we commit this day to you. Amen. Friends, we're going to see three videos from our partner missionaries today and possibly a couple of other videos about opportunities. And we're going to spend, then we're going to spend time twice in small group prayer or individual prayer. I'll explain that in a second. And the first lot of people we're going to be doing this is with Shane and Ruth. Let me give you a little bit of a picture because this is an unusual video Shane and Ruth have sent. It's a ministry I didn't know too much about. Normally, Shane and Ruth Sparks will be found in Gijón, in the province of Asturias in Spain. And they are members of a local church there, and they are training Christians throughout Spain to be able to read the Bible with their non-Christian family and friends. And they're also leading by example doing that. They have other ministries, and a big one of their ministries is prayer and gathering people for prayer. But we're going to hear about something a little different today. So heed what they say. We're going to be praying for these things, but I have got their prayers summarized on slides. So we'll watch this and then I'll talk to you a little more.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Snowden.
We're sending you our love here from Gijón, from Asturias. We're actually not in Gijón at the moment. We're actually at the jail where we've had the opportunity to come this year. We say this year, meaning September to September. We're just about to finish our year here and have summer holidays. But we're here today, you can see in the background. This is the Asturian jail, and we've had the opportunity to come here regularly over the last year. And it's been a wonderful opportunity. It's been quite intense. It's been quite emotional. It's been difficult, and it's been wonderful. And it's something that we're able to do together. We go to different parts of the jail. I visit the women's area. There's only one, and Shane's able to go to, well, he can tell you about his. I would ask you to please pray for two women who each time we come, we're able to, the woman that I come with, her name is Nuris. She's wonderful. She's from a different church than ours, which is wonderful to be able to work with her. And we've been reading Matthew with two women. Their names are Marta and Anangelis. And so if you could pray for Marta and Anangelis, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and the men's side of the jail is a lot more full. There are different modules, they call them, where we have Bible studies. So I work with a guy called Tino. He's the guy that runs the prison ministry in Asturias. You can pray for him, Tino. And together we do a Bible study in the infirmary. We do one in module 4. We do one in module 9. And we occasionally visit other modules as well. But we do have those opportunities, so please pray for the guys there. The guys in Module 9, we've only been running the Bible study for a few weeks, but it's full. Like, there are 15 guys out of about 150, so about 10% of the module is actually in a Bible study. It's really interesting, the different dynamics that are around with the different cultures and different people there. It is difficult, as Ruth says, it's quite draining. But we're really grateful to be able to meet people in the midst of their difficult moments and to bring them hope beyond the walls. And so we're grateful for the work that God is doing in us and through us. So thank you for your prayers, and please pray for the guys in Module 9, the guys in Module 4, and the guys in the infirmary.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Great to see their faces, isn't it? We've got two slides with prayer points on, so I'll get Graham to rotate them sort of after a couple of minutes so you can see what those prayer points are. Kai was actually out here during the July holidays, came to evening church one night. He came to a youth camp close to my heart that St. Luke's Miranda runs. And this is also Kai's last year of school, so he's working out what to do with life and what country to do life in when he finishes. Their school year begins next month. So things to pray for. So there's a few general prayer points, and then our second slide will be the specific prayer points about the jail. Now, if you haven't been to a time where we pray in small groups, can I say, it's very simple. We'll give you about 4 or 5 minutes to pray these prayer points, and either do that in a group of 2 or 3 is ideal. If you're not too sure or too comfortable with that, just pray on your own. That is fine. And we'll do that for a few minutes before our band comes and leads us in our next song. So let's spend some time in prayer and keep looking at the two slides that will come up.
Okay, we're drawing a prayer to Christ. Musicians are the wrong people to get to lead off after the prayer time, Matt, because we're all prayers, and so we just pray the rest of the day. We're going to do a new song. Everybody on your feet. We are marching towards a heavenly home. And you can do this. Jesus Christ has made every provision, everything that you have, you need to get home, he's given you. You can mix that with faith and have a room in that home, or you can meet it with unbelief and fall like they did in the wilderness, the nation of Israel. But I am confident of better things from you, brethren. Take a look around you. There's a great company of people. Move your feet. We're marching. We're getting there. And we move at a pace that nobody is going to be left behind. Let's go.
Next partner missionaries we're going to hear from are Peter and Rebecca Hines. Peter and Rebecca serve in Noumea, where Peter is the pastor of a small church there. We, along with several other Sydney churches, support Peter as pastor with his wage, as that church would be unable to do so. There's a number of roles they do there, and Rebecca is also a nurse as well there too. Many things to pray for. We're going to watch Peter and Rebecca speak to us, and then Anita is going to lead us in prayer for them.
Hi, this is Peter.
And Rebecca.
From New Caledonia. We'd like to thank you for your faithfulness in prayer and your generosity in giving. One of the most important prayer points would be for us to find a more suitable place for our Sunday worship.
The steps up to the dance hall are getting quite difficult for several of the elderly members of the congregation, and also quite dangerous for the children. So we really do need to find something quite quickly.
Give thanks for Adeline and Kaye. A year ago, we started counselling meetings with them, and they are now getting married on the 18th of August.
Adeline is following baptismal courses with our elder Mika, and she's hoping to get baptised sometime soon after the wedding. So please pray for them and pray for us as we continue to deepen our relationship with them and to continue the counselling with them too.
Please pray also for Laura and Adelaide, two student girls that started to come recently to church.
Please pray that we would see in them a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus. And please pray also for us to help them to do that. We're seeing them once a week at the moment. We're going through some of the life of Jesus in John. And they're also helping me trying to learn more of the Lifu language, which is great.
We'd like to pray also for Adele. She had a stroke 3 months ago and she hasn't gained much mobility back and she's quite discouraged.
Please pray for her family as they have difficult decisions to make regarding her future. She's not in a state to return home, and so a care home would be the best option for her. But she really doesn't want to go and it's putting a lot of strain on the family. And please pray for us as we try to help the family and Adele through all of this as well.
I'd like to introduce you now to Amika and his family.
Hi everyone! I'm Mika, and next to me we have my family. So this is Olivia, my wife. And here we have Daniel, Sarah, Donna, and Tess. And in 2025, we are planning to go to Moore College. So please pray for us. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Join me in prayer for Peter and Rebecca. Lord, we thank you that you love and welcome into your family people from all nations, as far as Spain and as close as New Caledonia. We look forward today to the day when our brothers and sisters across the world will worship you along with us in different languages, but with one voice. We thank you for Peter and Rebecca serving you in Umea. We thank you for the time of refreshment and encouragement they had recently visiting family and friends in England and France for the first time in over 8 years. And we praise you for the answer to prayer that some of the evangelical churches in Numea are coming together on a regular basis to have a meal and a time of teaching together. We pray that this will build cooperation as together they share the saving grace of Jesus to people in Umea. We bring before you the church of which Peter is the pastor, and we pray that a suitable meeting place will be found that is safe for everyone to enter and to worship you, and that serves all the purposes required for the church there. We pray that the church members will grow in their relationship with you. Give them wisdom and courage to live out their faith. We give thanks particularly for Adeline and Kay as they get married next weekend. We pray that they'll glorify you in their marriage, and especially for Adeline as she demonstrates this publicly through baptism soon after. We pray for Locke and Adelaide as they hear about you at church, and may their hearts be opened by you and turn to you as their Lord. Be with Rebecca as she meets up with them. We pray also for Adele as she comes to terms with her limitations after her stroke. We pray that you will give her family and Peter and Rebecca wisdom as they help her to accept the care that she needs. We thank you for the training of leaders in New Caledonia and pray for Mika and his family as they plan to study at Moore College in 2015. We pray that you'll open doors to make this possible for them. May you continue to spread your light across New Caledonia as people's hearts turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A few of us now are going to let you know about some mission opportunities that you can be part of, so I'm going to start off with that. So firstly, St Aidan's, in conjunction with Peter and Rebecca in Noumea, we're in the early stages of planning a short-term mission trip to Noumea, probably in the second half of next year or early 2025. At this point, there's a lot that we're not sure about, not sure what sort of activities might happen for the mission, not sure of whether it'll be with children, youth, adults, or a mixture of all three. It kind of depends on who is interested in participating in the mission and what sort of skills and interests they bring to the group. New Caledonia is a French-speaking country, however, you're not excluded from coming if you don't speak French, so English speakers are welcome to come along. If you're even a little bit interested in participating in this short-term mission, it would be great to hear your interests. So if you could come, you could come today to talk to me or to Daniel or to Matt, or ask us further questions about it. If you're not sure, can I encourage you to pray about it? Because what God uses people who love him, want to live for him, and who are willing. Even if you might feel inadequate, God is capable of working his mission. So when we have an idea of who might be interested in coming and the number of people, then we'll have a meeting together and talk about details of timing and what the mission might look like. Timing would depend on people here's timing and what sort of mission activity we might do, and that depends on school holidays or in term time or whatever it might mean for New Caledonia. So I encourage you to come and chat with one of us, even if it's just to ask some questions or just to say, hey, it might be something I'm interested in. Janine's going to come now to talk about beach mission, but just as a final teaser, here's a beach in New Caledonia.
Cool. We're here to talk about a beach that's closer to home.
Yep. So
if that interests you too.
So we're here to share a bit about beach missions. Many of you might be familiar with that term. They're also known as Scripture Union Family Missions, and they've been happening for many years right across the coast of Australia. There's over 50 missions. We'll be sharing more specifically about Kararong Beach Mission that we've been a part of, and I know a few people, other people here have been a part of too, particularly the Jameses. And so to share about it with you, to encourage you to think about coming along, to thank those of you who've been supporting our beach mission with baking and various other things. And as Matt challenged us, to be praying, because prayer is a wonderful part to be able to join in the mission, even if you're not able to physically be there. So to start by giving a little bit of background, we're just going to watch a short video so you can picture maybe a bit of what it involves.
Thank you. stand face to face with the younger me.
Yeah, so it's 10 days just after Christmas. We go down and camp with a bunch of people from churches usually all over Sydney or even other places in New South Wales. And we come together at the end of the year running various programs, kids programs, night activities, also Adults Cafe, which just to reassure you, there's definitely some less active kind of parts compared to what the video showed. So people of all ages are welcome. There are often, yeah, some really encouraging, slightly older couples who come or, yeah, single people. Everyone's welcome. Would encourage you to think about it. Definitely very happy to chat to anyone who's interested after the service. Alex realised that we didn't actually introduce ourselves, and there's some people who might not know us. My name's Janine, and this is my husband, Alex. We've been coming along to St Aidan's for, well, all of my life, a lot of yours. We normally go to 5 p.m, so thanks for welcoming us to 10 a.m. We're going to briefly share out that nine things we love about Beach Missions. So I guess one thing I really love about going on Beach Mission is that it's a really refreshing reminder at the start of a new year about the importance and the urgency of God's mission.
Number two, you can camp in style. It's a great way to learn practical and new skills. I'm not from a camping family, but now I know how to tie ropes and things like that. So, you know, if you're looking for a skill to be able to put something on your roof, then maybe come along.
It's a great time of fellowship, as well as reaching out to the people in the campsite that we stay in. There's lots of times reading God's word together and growing together in God's word.
I'm getting all the, secular reasons. It's a beautiful place. Kaiorang is in Jervis Bay, and there's plenty of time in during the day to kind of holiday. It feels a bit like a holiday on mission, so it's a great way to do mission alongside other Christians, but to do it with maybe your kids and your family as well.
And it's, a great time to be able to grow in skills of evangelism where people are actively thinking together how to most effectively share God's word with others. It's great.
And then doing that over a long period of time. So Janine mentioned that Beach Missions have been going on for, you know, over 50 years. So that continuity and investing long term in a place and in people's lives is really beautiful.
Just to flow on from that, there's even someone who's been a part of our mission now who became a Christian as a child through the work of the beach mission at Kararong there, and now his whole family are Christian and they're a wonderful support to our team there. So it's great to see sort of long-term continuity there. It's also a great encouragement. Every morning we meet for a time in God's Word, hearing that preach, so we get to have church every day, so that's a great bonus.
Point number 8 is we see God at work in his world. We see the power of the gospel at work in people's lives. Those very, very young who are keen just to have a Bible and to be reading that, and then those that are, you know, later in life as well, who are going through different seasons, illnesses and grief. So people from all walks and all ages are having gospel conversations and being changed and transformed by the gospel, and that's a wonderful privilege and really igniting our faith as well as we see it.
And finally, we get to partner with local churches there. The church there is quite small, more of an elderly congregation, and we get to encourage them as we both partner in God's mission in Kararong. So if you're interested, we'd love to chat to you more about it. And there's a initial meeting with some people who are interested down held at Wollongong, not this Saturday but the one after. Details of that will be in the e-news. Thank you.
I won't talk for too long. I'll let the video do the talking. In 3 Sundays' time, it is Father's Day, and this is a time when Missionary Aviation Fellowship have their fuel for Father's Day campaign. So you can purchase your dad a card, which will help support that ministry. So Missionary Aviation Fellowship, they are an international Christian organisation, and their purpose is to bring help, hope and healing through aviation to people living in isolation and poverty. So in 2 weeks' time, I'll be down the back of church and you can purchase a card for your dad. You can also do that online if you would like. So my father has also thrown in an extra incentive. If you buy a jerry can of fuel, you can go in the draw to have a flight over the Illawarra. So, yeah, bit of food for thought.
Did you know that Fuel for Father's Day last year filled 6,000 jerry cans of fuel, which kept MAF planes in the sky for over 2,000 hours? Let's do it again in 2023 by gifting your dad a jerry can of fuel. And look out for this year's Father's Day song from Colin Buchanan. Get ready to fill it up.
Mission opportunities. How good is that? Thank you very much. I'm a dad and I don't want another pair of socks or something like that. So I'm going to tell my kids, bring their money, buy a MAF jerry can. And if you do win the plane trip, I do want that. But what a great idea. Great way to support it. Can I encourage you about the beach mission? I'm sure that brought back many memories for many people. We're also deeply thankful to Kararong because every Sunday you drink coffee from their coffee machine. We look after the coffee machine during the year and they have it for beach mission. So we're very thankful for that. I should also say, having Anita up reminded me, I haven't welcomed crew. So crew are in with us today, our year 6 to 8s, and great to have you guys. And can I encourage you, think about the possibility of that short-term mission. We didn't sort of say how long, Anita, probably a week or so. Just over a week or so. What a great idea. So some really good opportunities to think about there and to pray about and to have some conversations with. So we hope you can do that. We come to our third partner missionary now, and that is Rebecca, different Rebecca, Rebecca with a K, who's with CMS. Rebecca is in, we say this for security reasons, we don't say her last name, we don't say the country. Is there anyone on Zoom today, by the way? No, so no one's watching on Zoom. All right, so we're not public. So Rebecca's serving in Indonesia, and there are many things to pray for. She has been there for just over a year and is about to start lecturing in the local language, which I think is astounding, and definitely needs our prayers. So she's got a few prayer points for us. Once again, as soon as this finishes, I won't get up, but can I encourage you, pray in those small groups again, and there'll be two slides up with some of the prayer points that Rebecca mentions. So let's watch the video and then we'll go straight into prayer.
Hello, my name is Rebecca, and through CMS, we partner together in God's mission in Southeast Asia. I am in a different country, but really not so far away. If you got on a plane in Sydney at breakfast time, you could reach my country that night and be here with me. We are partners together in God's mission and in the gospel. I would love for you to be praying with and for me and for my country. So here are three things about my country, the church here, and for me that I would love you to be praying about. The first thing is that the situation here in my country is quite different from the city of Sydney, for example. There are still lots of people who live out in rural areas, and even when they move into the city context, it can be hard for these people to find food and water, to have shelter, to have access to education and healthcare. And while this is indeed a country where everybody will have their mobile phone and everybody is online, there are still lots of physical needs in this nation. So I would love you to be praying for the physical needs of people here, that God would provide for them. It's also a country where there is a great welcoming communal culture. And so for those who are wrapped up in families and communities here, there is a great sense of belonging and identity, and it's a wonderful, hospitable thing. However, that does mean if you are on the outside of things, as is so often the case for Christians here, it's very easy to be left out, to be excluded, to be siloed away, to be silenced. For those who are on the inside, things can get better and better and better. For those on the outside, it's easy to get pushed down and down and down. So please pray for the church here. Pray that they might be faithful, holding on to the good news of the gospel. Pray that they might be courageous to stand firm when they are excluded and told to be silent. Pray that they might continue to have God's generous hospitality, to look outside of themselves and to keep having open, welcoming stance of good news sent into the world, even whilst the world remains closed to them. Third, I would love for you to pray also for me. I have been in country a little over a year now. I am still learning language and culture here. Pray that I might continue to engage faithfully and well with the people around me, that my tongue and my cultural awareness would grow in their fluency here. But pray also for my role as I begin and hope to work alongside a Bible college. Pray that I would continue to have mission, a visa, to be here and to be serving in this country. Pray that I would be faithful to help the Christians here open God's word well and to think about how they can love God and love their neighbors more and more in this context, so that together we can equip local leaders for God's mission here. I would love you to be praying for this country, for the church here, and for me, and so expressing our partnership in the gospel. Thank you so much.
ask you to start wrapping. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, give you great praise for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for Rebecca, for Peter and Rebecca, for Shane and Ruth and Kai and Joel and Finn. Please let them know every day that we walk with them, that please help us to be good and gracious and loving partners. As we steward, as we offer friendship and support, and as we pray. And please remind them every day that you, Heavenly Father, are with them, and it is your work. And we commit their efforts and pray that the gospel will be proclaimed and more might be saved while there is time. Amen. Friends, a few things I want to mention. First of all, I did mention, for those that weren't here, we had Compassion here last week. And I think we have a slide. One of the reasons we had Compassion here was that we might sponsor more children. Now, they look like a lot of info there, but each line represents a child that we sponsored from last week. One of them might be yours. 14 children. 37 profiles were taken, so there is opportunity, and many are still thinking about whether they might sponsor. That takes our church's total sponsorship to well over 80 children. If that is you, thank you so much. It does make a huge difference in those children's lives and in your life and your family's life as well. And for those that are still considering it, or if you weren't here last week, you can go online. If you weren't here last week, I'll encourage you to go to our website and actually listen to Spiro and Teresa as well, and continue to support that valuable work. So thank you. Next Sunday, we're going to have a focus on one particular missionary organisation, and that is CMS and the work of CMS. For as long as I can remember, certainly my whole time here, we've had a CMS-linked missionary, and we've got a few members that are former CMS missionaries here as well. So we're actually going to hear from a mission partner staff member, a guy called Scott Miller, and Scott's going to come and talk to us about mission, and particularly what does CMS do. I'm going to ask him about summer school. I'm going to ask him about youth and children's camps that CMS runs. But also, what does it mean to be a missionary? So we're really looking forward to that. As well as that, our World Missions team and the Parish Council have agreed to take on a new Link missionary couple. They will be CMS missionaries. And we're going to hear about them. They'll introduce themselves via video next Sunday. And then we'll meet them in person in October. So I won't spoil the surprise, except to say, particularly as we heard from Anglican Aid last year, and we had a benefit supporting Anglican Aid, and a lot of Anglican Aid's work is in Madagascar. That is where our new Link missionaries will be based. And so we look forward to introducing them next Sunday as well. So that's what's coming up, and we look forward to hearing a whole lot more next week. Next week is, of course, as well as that, Hospitality Sunday. And there's about 100-plus people that will be gathering at different homes. Haven't promoted it the last 2-3 weeks because we sort of closed the numbers before that. But we're excited that so many people can join in and visiting others' homes and sharing meals together with people from different congregations. So I do want to thank Trudy for all the work she's put into that, in organising that. I'm guessing trying to coordinate that many people can be a bit like herding sheep at times, but thank you very much for that work you've done there. Today's Anglicare food collection, if you weren't too sure what's going on out here. And so thank you for all who have brought food. The church is going to be open all afternoon from about 12 to 5, and there will be people in the hall sorting and packing. I hope those people are you. We have a chief sorter and packer for the last several years, and last night she called in sick. So, many hands make light work. If you're available any of that time, there will be at least one or two people that know how we sort and pack. We've got a whole lot of boxes. What we're going to do, maybe 10, 15 minutes after church, I'm going to be setting up some heavy tables in the hall. And if you're still around, I might ask you to help transport all of our food into the hall. So we've got to start there. But we've letterbox dropped about 2,000 homes and asked people if they would consider bringing food to the church this afternoon, where that will also be packed, and Anglicare will be picking that up tomorrow and use it where there is most need. So thank you for all who have donated. It is not too late. You can still bring some food in today. Andrew Cole gave me a good tip during the week. The Woolies soups were on sale, so we stocked up on that. Always a great product. Again, if you're able to help this afternoon in the hall, that would be most appreciated. Final thing I want to mention, just to keep the wheels running, the rosters for welcoming, morning teas, Bible reading, prayers, after church prayers, etc., it's all on here. They are up the back. I'm looking for Linda. Yes, some are up the back. And I do want to thank Linda. I reckon this is a massive amount of organisation to pull this together, and just getting people where they're able, etc. So thank you, Linda. These have begun. So if you're definitely on it, go and grab one, and that would be great. I'm going to ask our band if they'd like to come out, and we're going to sing together.
Please stand.
Promised I too will rise. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We hope you can stay for morning tea. There will be after church prayers, Graham and Trudy, I think, somewhere. Find a space. Just a couple of reminders. As you leave, we always make sure the gates are closed at the end of church because there's little children around, so make sure they stay closed. Friends, today I hope we've prayed a little. I hope this is an encouragement just to give our prayer life a bit of a reboot, that we will go and pray a lot, that we will be faithful, that we will pray continually, that we will persist and uphold brothers and sisters in Christ to the Lord and pray for our own endeavours as well. Let me finish with these wonderful words of blessing from the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.